This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Okay, here we go. That's room tone for you, and now we're going to go into the...
Oh, hey there, welcome back to Only Demon.
No, that's dumb. Okay, no. We're going to do another one.
Oh. Yeah, huh?
Hey there.
There
I was going into it. Here it goes.
It's
ghostly.
Oh,
hey there. Oh, welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the best damn podcast you could put your ears into. That's a theme song. Hope you guys liked it.
Yep.
Also, if you guys ever want to make us a theme song, we'd love to use one.
That'd
anyways,
amazing.
This is the podcast where we talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, all the fun entertainment things, and with your host, DJ.
And Sam.
And Sam. We're out of pause. Guys, it's, calm down over there. Just
they're going
relax.
Nuts. They're going nuts.
Number one show on the internet. Hope everyone loves it. This is, everyone can't get enough of Only Stupid Answers. You guys have been awesome. You guys are very vocal with us for the past couple of weeks, especially now that we're back and we're on a regular schedule from our long break.
Yes.
And you guys have been awesome on the subreddit. But anyways, DJ.
Yes.
When we open up this podcast, we like to do a few things. We like to,
one,
let everybody know that you can listen to this podcast on a bunch of different platforms.
So many platforms.
Here's one, iTunes.
Yes.
You can write and review there.
Here's another one, Spotify.
Look at that one.
Yes.
Wait, maybe a third.
Stitcher.
Stitcher's pretty good. Ooh, what's a free one?
Audioboom.
Oh, wait a minute. They're all free. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
And if you go to our social media, you can actually find a list of all of the places to listen to it.
Yeah, including you can go to visit us on Twitter at Only Stupid Answers. What do you need to do that, Sam?
Yank the bowels out of stupid.
Yes, there wasn't enough
out of
space.
Stupid.
Yes.
Couldn't fit in there. But Facebook and Instagram as well, Only Stupid Answers.
Yes.
Easy peasy. But the fun one that you guys made, there's a subreddit for Only Stupid Answers.
So exciting.
And now I'm better about going on that subreddit and talking to you guys. And now DJ's been in there too.
Yeah. You know how people are always like, ooh, I never review something, but now I do because of you guys. Well, now here's something I did for you guys. I have not been on Reddit in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I dug up my password and I got back on and I commented a little bit on some stuff.
Me and them halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make the thing you comment on the thing.
Yeah.
There you go. And you guys have been so cool in there. Even make ooh, don't know my Reddit lingo. You use like little like tags on like your username, like if you're a mod or something. Anyways, someone has like their username and then like the little like name next to it is to DJ's left. And I think there's a few other ones, but I haven't done all my research yet in that subreddit. But
it's exciting.
We like to open up each episode with a few reviews. DJ?
Yes.
On iTunes, people have been really nice. They've been writing five-star reviews. Five-star
reviews
sure make us so happy.
They sure do.
Well, that's one of them.
Well, here's one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Only a stupid review from Smith, 14.
14.
That's Smith, 14. Mm-hmm. I started watching because I'm a fan of Sam's other exploits. It's Sam.
Hello. Hey.
But I've really started to enjoy the podcast in and of itself. I've never found myself yelling, I know, right, at media as often as I have done when DJ reviews movies. The biggest reason I'm giving OSA 5 stars is because Sam and DJ talked about the DC Universe so much, I figured I'd give it a try. I found that I really, really love Nightwing. Eternal thanks, guys.
Aw, that's so cool.
You know what else is cool? I had a burp and I snuck it out while I was talking.
That's so
and nobody noticed.
That's a seasoned podcaster right there. That's a move that a lot of people when they go out on their maiden voyage, they don't know how to do that kind of stuff.
No, but we're getting there.
Wait, what's this? I just burped off the side. Didn't even there's another one.
Self burp. I ruined it by telling the audience that it happened. I should have just told you later.
Can we get a burp count? Everybody just go ahead and let us know on the subreddit how many burps
burp
you get.
But Sam, that's not the only 5-star review we have today.
DJ, I got my eyes on one right
what?
Here. By Sage and Bloom, get fit with DJ and Sam.
Ooh.
Sam and DJ. That's the way.
Yes.
Alphabetical. When music stopped fully motivating me to go to the gym, I turned to podcasts. I've never been a huge fan of them because of my ADHD, but Sam and DJ know how to keep you listening. Soon, I started listening to this podcast while working out, and now it's my go-to motivator.
Ooh.
Every week, I learn even more about comics, TV shows, movies, you name it. Oh, they did it like that thing. They like the way I say it.
Yeah.
Through two incredible minds.
We are incredible minds.
We are. We are jewels. Thank you guys for an awesome podcast. Oh, I really I love hearing that it's like, no, I've never listened to podcasts before, but now I listen to yours, and now we like podcasts.
It makes us feel special.
That's how I imagine everyone's voice. Mm-hmm. It is not an insult. It just makes it fun for me.
That's how you hear everybody's voice.
When you read like a Reddit review, it's just like, oh, I don't like this device. Yeah. This is how you build your cabinet.
It makes life more enjoyable.
Yeah. It makes it really fun. But this is the third time I'm saying this episode. We like to open up every episode with what we're into this week, DJ.
Yes.
What are you into this week?
Are we starting with me?
DJ, we're going to start with you.
Well, I been watching a lot of stuff. Been watching some Sherlock. We're going to talk about that later because of the. But I watched this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It came back. Have you had a chance to check it out?
Not a clue. Did not know that happened.
Yeah, I did not.
You just like.
I just blew your mind.
I definitely spaced out real hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I turned on Hulu and I saw it was there. I'm like, perfect. This is what I want to watch right now. And it is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a show that you're usually pretty iffy on.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I am still, it doesn't have the like fun, the Silver Age fun of the CW shows that get those shows through their clunkier moments. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody is blatantly expositional on these shows, it just drains the energy out of it.
Uh-huh.
On those shows, they're usually like have costumes on and things are exploding around them and you're like, okay, fine, I don't care. I don't, but this
and one, they are the characters. It's not like here are some other C-rated ones that we made up for the TV show.
It's almost like with the CW, it would be like if you took the tech team on the CW shows, took out the superheroes, and then told them to be like, hey, tech guys, you need to take this super seriously.
Yeah.
Now go.
Imagine if you just kind of had fun randomly, like it happened by accident.
But it's got a few plot lines that are cool. It's the subtitle for this part of the season is LMD.
Which is cool.
It actually really integrates really well with the first half. I was kind of like, are we just going to do a full 180?
Yeah.
No, but it actually, small spoiler, the Darkhold still factors into the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really, it moves very quickly. There's some surprising twists and turns. Everything LMD related, really interesting, really cool. Good episode for Mac. There's a subplot that involves that Senator Nadir and her brother that is kind of awful.
I'm guessing her brother was the man in the cocoon.
Yeah,
figured.
And they're seeing literally all of their scenes are them just giving exposition to each other about their lives. And it's just, it's real rough.
Mm-hmm. I do like their boss, their new boss, the
new
the
boss
Patriot.
Is cool. And him and Daisy. Simmons go on a mission to save the brother and they're cool in it. And the themes of her and her brother are really interesting. It's just them together just don't work for me. And I kind of hope that we're not, but it would be fine if I never saw them again.
They're going to be there for a while.
For a while. But other than that, the part that actually impressed me the most was how seamlessly we went from Ghost Rider to LMD and it just worked, and I was really cool with that.
And I feel like Ghost Rider is going to be coming back before the end of season.
Yeah, because the Darkhold's still factoring into it, it actually kind of surprised me if he didn't. I don't think there's any basis, real honest to goodness basis, for these rumors for Punisher showing up later with Ghost Rider or whatever.
Ooh.
But how amazing would that be?
Be really cool.
It'd be so cool.
I don't know how it's like, why do they both show up at the same time? Shut up. Let it happen. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I will definitely check that out. But
yes.
I've been checking out some new Netflix shows. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yes.
The theme of today's episode is
Books to Screen.
There we go.
Because we've got both a series of unfortunate events drop this weekend.
So good.
And Sherlock is wrapping up its season and possibly the whole show. Well, it will have already aired by the time this episode goes up. But I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll give me motivation to finally try to muscle through an episode
because you really should. Because you like Doctor Who and it's Stephen Moffat.
Well, you know, he's good every once in a while on Doctor Who.
I like him. I'm a Stephen Moffat fan.
No, I am too. But sometimes when you have a lot of it, you're like, okay,
that's the thing.
Where's the reality?
There's only three episodes.
But they feel like movies.
They're movies. They're like an hour and a half.
I know. I just, I have to get in that mindset of like, this is movie time. We're not watching a TV
That's
show.
That's true.
This is a whole movie. Kind of like when I was doing Westworld, I was like, these are movies because it's not
Westworld.
I still haven't finished that because Series of Unfortunate Events came out Westworld. And it's been far more interesting for me. So also I have more stake in it. So.
I haven't had a chance to check that out, but I am excited too. I will. When you talk about Sherlock being movie length, it's like when I found out Series of Unfortunate Events, each episode was an hour, I'm like, that's going to take some energy to watch.
Not really. It does. It like
for me. I didn't read the books or anything. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, then I think it'd be really interesting coming in with like no basis for this.
I did watch the Jim Carrey movie.
Oh, well, you might know. You might not know.
I don't remember it.
Which I did find out a lot of interesting things about that movie today because I was like, I was trying to remember, I'm like, why didn't they make a sequel to this? But then I looked up like how much money I made and everything. But I'll get to that in a second. Anyways, been reading a lot of comics.
Yes.
Finished all of Fables. Finished all of Jack of Fables. And now I'm on to the others. I keep finding Fable spinoffs everywhere I go. I keep finding. So now I'm on Ferrest, which is pretty cool. It's mainly focusing on the women of Fable.
Yes.
And like the Cinderella's got a really cool story. Oh no, not Cinderella, I'm sorry. Sleeping Beauty, Briar Rose.
Yeah.
So she at some point like they have like this big mission and she goes to sleep cuz it's Sleeping Beauty obviously. So
that's her superpower.
Yeah, but she kind of like disappears for a while from the story. Then Fable did this weird thing, or they do this weird thing throughout the stories where it's like characters will leave and there's no mention of like, go check out this story to find out what happened. It's more like they're gone. And then like goodbye. I remember Sleeping Beauty like left, like you saw her, like you're like, oh, there's her story, where's that going? And then like maybe like 20 issues later, it's like, hey, here she is. And she's just standing there and it's like, wait, no, like,
what happened?
No, she was asleep. And like to wake up, that's like a big thing. Like that means a lot. And like she was when you can move her when she's asleep, and like usually makes everyone else fall asleep. So the people that she's asleep with are big characters. So it's like, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Now I know what happened to them, and it was really interesting. And now Ferrest, like each volume deals with different women. Like Rapunzel got a really cool issue that I just finished, and she, I'll tell you the intro to her story. She back in the homelands where she's from. She had a story that she believed she had two twins. But during when she was in labor, a woman like stumbled along, was like, oh, I can help you. Like, here, have this apple to like help you like cope with it. But she started hallucinating and like she like this woman, what she believes, stole the kids because she heard the kids crying. But the woman gave her two dolls to hold. And then the woman ran away with the babies. And as far as you can tell, like you're trying to like figure out if that actually happened or were they stillborn or whatever. Like, but anyways, after she's so distraught from this, and being raised by a witch in like the tower, people don't want to talk to her. So she gets on a ship and she goes to the edge of the world and she falls off of it and she goes to the Hidden Kingdom, which is all the Japanese fables. And so if you know anything from like Japanese lore, like it's really cool. And
that's amazing.
Like, Tanukis, they're there. There's a lot of names that just like click when you're reading it. And I really like it. Like a lot of fox lore, a lot of,
the Japanese do a lot with the fox. Like, the Native Americans had coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lizard, but like you have to keep water in his head for him to stay alive. Oh, it's a turtle. Sorry. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
He has to keep water in his brain so that he can stay alive, but he can pour it out if he falls over or whatever. So it's like, and keep
That's
pouring
amazing.
Water. It was a really cool story. And like, there's also like a ring type like story in there as well that kind of goes back to like some other lore. I don't know. I'd have to go through and read all of it. But Rapunzel, she was actually really cool because she's one of the fables that's allowed to live with the humans, but she can't go out and walk around New York City because her hair grows 4 inches an hour. So like,
Jeez.
That's super suspicious.
Yeah.
That like she has to get 3 haircuts a day. Like there's nothing they can do as far as you can tell. So Ferris Volume 2 is really good. And I've been like keeping up. I read a bunch of...
Are you going to ever run out of Fable stuff?
Yes, I will. And maybe.
What do you do? Because you blow through stuff. What does it feel like when you're done?
Sad.
Okay.
I definitely... There was one story in Fables that involved Little Boy Blue.
I've heard good things
Wolf.
About Little Boy Blue.
Oh, he's so cool. Yeah. He might be the coolest like superhero I've ever read. Because you're like, oh, I want him to win.
Yeah.
Bigby, and who's also great. And just a really cool story between them that's near the end of everything that's happening in the main Fables book that had me crying. I was like, oh, I can't. I can't handle this, no. But I would never say what was happening. But also, I bought a couple other stories that I've been going through. I'm reading Love is Love, that DC and IDW publishing thing. Oh, wow, if you want to cry, like, you can go ahead and pick that up. It's beautiful. This is what IDW and DC came together and made a comic.
Good for them.
And the proceeds to this comic go to the families of the Pulse nightclub shooting victims. Yeah. And, I was reading one that Tom King wrote. It's like, and most of these comics, like, it's a collection of comics that a bunch of artists and writers came together and made. And Tom King did one that's Batman, and it's just one page, and each image is Batman's costume in a different color.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, at some point I have to give up. There's like, at some point, people are going to keep breaking me and breaking me that I can't get up anymore. But he's like, but today I'm not going to let him, I'm not going to stop. I'm like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going because I have to.
Wow.
And there's this one that like, oh, it killed me. It was a kid and his dad are standing in front of the Pulse nightclub and like there's a memorial happening. And the kid's asking like, are those the people in love? And they're like, is that love different from yours and mommy's? And it's like, kinda. It's like they have a lot more to go through than mom and me. And he's like, oh, so it's like they gotta fight evil. It's like super love. And then the kid looks at the survivors as Superman. Yeah. They're all holding each other's hands. And I'm like, I can't. And then the last one, the one that like killed me because it was the imagery that they talked about after the Pulse nightclub shooting was sorry for the sad opening, guys, but I don't care. The imagery or like the sounds they heard of all the phones going off in the nightclub, and it was haunting because it's people calling to see if they're okay. One comic is written where Batman came in to investigate right after it happened, and so the people are still laying there and they're drawn, and like he's talking about how horrifying it is to just keep hearing that, and then like the man who was behind it, like it didn't make any sense why he did this. Like he claimed allegiance to ISIS, but like anyone can do that. Doesn't mean they're part of it. That doesn't mean that's not how it works. And like. He has like he has this like really touching monologue, and it's very sad. But at the end, he's standing out like on the rooftop of the nightclub, and there's three cops, and they're like, is he in there? He's like, yes. And he's like, Bats is the best detective around. If he can't figure out why this happened, no one can.
Yeah.
And then it ends, and it's like,
yeah.
But good stuff.
Yeah.
But positive things. I read that Power Rangers and Justice League team up thing.
The team up that did anybody really want?
No, it was silly. But the final line is like. Like Batman's getting carried away by a giant pink robotic pterodactyl. And like it's like, you know what, I'll read this. Like I don't read Power Rangers have never really gotten me. Like I remember the movie when I was a kid and I was like Morphin time, but it was like I don't really have an allegiance to the Power Rangers at all. The movie looks cool, and I'm
we'll see think we're gonna review it for this podcast.
But I'm very excited about that. I also read a few more comics. I'm just flipping through them real quick,
Sam,
just seeing if there was anything that really grabbed my attention. I've been reading Infamous Iron Man, where it's Victor Von Doom as Iron Man. It's really interesting.
Is it good?
Yeah, because he was like, it's just talking about how he's like a second chance, which is pretty cool.
You can do some really, that's one of the really disappointing things about the Fantastic Four movies is like Dr. Doom is really cool if you do him right.
He's got a lot to say and like talk about. I really like it. And the Justice League of America books, they're building up to the Justice League of America rebirth.
They did Adam with Ryan Choi, and then they just did Vixen. Right?
Vixen, I read some reviews. People didn't like it. I thought it was very good. Like cool. Vixen is like in Justice League Unlimited, where she's like a pop star. She's like a model. She's very famous, and she's like a philanthropist, and like she's kind of put in a position where it was like she opened up a home, like a group that could help inner city kids and like their families, but one fell through the cracks and like the girl like confronts her about it and was like, where's my mom? Like, and like she goes out and like they do this really cool imagery where they show all of her blood vessels and like her connectivity to the animals, and on all the blood vessels are different animals inside of her body. So I was like, this is cool. I really like this. This is really fun. So I'm excited for that to pay off. Should be really cool. Also, I forgot to tell you over the break, I read Kingdom Come.
Oh, cool.
And because it is dated and a lot of the stuff doesn't, I mean, obviously it's in a different realm or whatever, but when it gets to the big fight at the end, I was like upset because I was like, this is awful what's happening right now. And which is, it's meant to be. It's meant to feel like war. And it's like, this is war. Like, this is awful what's happening. And Shazam's storyline and Batman's storyline was really cool. Diana's storyline was really interesting. And I love that it was from the perspective of this priest. I was like, I love that, like, and also, like, the twist that happens in the middle with the Flash.
Yeah.
Have you read it?
You know what? I don't think I have. I don't think I've read it all the way through.
Oh, it's
pieces of it.
It's a quick read.
Yeah. It's one of those that I haven't gotten back around to, you know, from when, cause it had been out for a while by the time I got into comics. And so it was one of those, like I need to check that one out. And I just haven't.
It's very old. But there's this moment with Clark where it's near the end after the big thing.
Yeah.
And the narrator, like, can somehow, like, talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's only supposed to be observing, but it becomes more than that.
Yeah.
And he talks about what makes Superman relatable.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's a relic, kind of, but it's like, there's a reason why you were such a big deal. Like, it wasn't that you could do the things you do, it's because you could do those things and also be human, and that's one of the pieces of his argument. And the way it ends, it's really cute because they
I have read the ending.
You read the ending. So when they're in the restaurant, planet, it's so like weird. Like they go to this restaurant called Planet Krypton and everything's themed DC superheroes. Even there's Warner Brothers merch on the walls and stuff, and it's like, this is weird. This is a weird like meta restaurant inside of this world, but like Robin is their waiter and Batman's at the table. It's like, this is awkward, right? Yeah. So I really appreciate Red We Three, and I enjoyed that as well. Boy, was I depressed after. I know it ends on a
upper note. Yeah,
like it's like plummeting to the. It's like a plane plummeting to the ground, but it's as if it still crashed.
Yeah.
But most everybody got out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way of describing
it. It's like, and if you look at it that way, you're like, yeah, I guess it is a happy ending. Yeah. Like, you don't really like...
It's surprisingly gruesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's violent.
It's debatable that it needed to be that violent. But that was Grant Morrison, right? And I read
First thing with Frank Quietly.
It was very good. Yeah. And last thing, but my brother-in-law got me How to Talk to Teenage Girls. It's a comic.
Yeah.
How to Talk to Girls at Parties. That's what it's called. And who's the biggest guy? Neil Gaiman. He wrote it, and it's this tiny thing. I think it is. Yeah, I think it's Neil Gaiman. And it's just these two kids. Like, one's the nervous guy, and one's like the party guy. And they're like, we're going to a party. And he's like, do you know the directions? He's like, yeah, it's over here. And like, they start walking around. They go to like the party, and like, they talk to the girls, and they're like, since I hatched, like they're bug-eyed, and they're like kind of like, they look like normal girls kind of, but their eyes are way too big, and they're just like kind of like dancing, but they're not dancing. They're like, the way he describes it, it's like, it's not really music, it's just like tones that are just vibrating the house. And it's like, it was just a really fun story where it's like, the guys are so thick, they're not like seeing past them wanting to talk to a girl correctly for the first time, and they're not listening to what they're saying. And it's like, I think these things have been alive for thousands of years, and I think they are really violent, but very nice right now. Yeah, like, so maybe get out of here. But it's very, it was a good read.
That's a good read.
But I know I rambled for a while, but we also like to hear from you guys about what you're into this week, and you guys make little subreddit threads. I appreciate that.
Ooh.
On reddit.com/r/onlystupidanswers. And I just want to read a few off really quick. Josh, that one guy, says, I've been reading a lot of Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, and it's been so much fun. It's hilarious, entertaining. Kamala Khan is easily one of my new favorite characters in the Marvel universe. The storyline where she meets Wolverine is amazing and my personal favorite so far. I'm excited. I really like her in Champions, and Champions is great.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was in the Avengers,
who wrote Kingdom Come?
Oh yeah, Champions is a very good read so far. And Gwenpool's about to show up, so I'm very excited.
That's
about
cool.
That. She's one of my favorite characters right now. People are reading Why the Last Man.
Good.
And Pyro Flasher says lots and lots of Sandman. Started reading it after Sam mentioned it on SF. And on SFN video, and I'm obsessed. My mom got me the second omnibus volume for Christmas after I binged the first half on my iPad. A Game of You made me cry so hard. Now, I bought the first volume on the Comixology, and I haven't gotten to it yet. But.
Yeah, that's another one that I need to that I know a lot about, but I have not yet had a chance to read. And it's one of the all time greats.
Fables is taking up a lot of my time.
Well, yeah, especially since you've read all of it.
Hey, guys. I do other things. I ran today.
I feel like I'm going to come in next week and be like, I read all of Sandman, and then I read all of this prequel comic, and then I read all of the Death spinoff.
I have
and
blood then, like pouring out of my eyes. It's like, I have it all.
Yeah.
I know it all. I can now write a whole fable story.
You know, something that, speaking of Sandman, one of my, there was a run by Paul Cornell on Action Comics where the protagonist was Lex Luthor, and he runs into Death from the Sandman comics.
Oh, cool.
It's really good.
There is a JLA where they meet Morbius.
Morpheus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, technically all that takes place in the DCU, but it's one of those, it's weird. It's, I don't think they can use those characters without Gaiman's permission.
Probably. That makes sense. But it's definitely the same like character design. And it's the same. It's him.
They want to say there was a moment they were trying to use the character in the Justice League Unlimited, and they weren't allowed to for whatever reason. I think Prakas is a very mature character. But...
Yeah, no, it's dark. They're like, let's go read about them. It's like, no, you don't want to.
Yeah.
But also, like, all their weird rules was like, no one use any Batman villains.
Yeah, or
like...
that one time when they made that Aquaman pilot, like, you can't use Black Manta in this thing. Why
would it confuse anyone?
The argument for the live action stuff I don't agree with, but I at least understand. But like live action animation, it's like, why though? Like
no kid's gonna get confused.
Yeah.
They're like, is this the same Batman? I don't know, just watch the Batman
thing. Yeah, exactly.
What's the Batman thing? But I have some fun news.
What's your fun news, Sam?
Okay. DJ, I need to know. Are you a fan of watches?
You know what? Actually, I am. I do like watches. They're nice. They're nice. And also, for completely unrelated reasons, I got a watch recently.
Wait, what?
I know.
What?
And it's been nice to be able to look at that instead of my phone.
You know what?
Yeah.
I got a watch, too.
Completely unrelated.
What? This is crazy.
What's happening?
Are they matching? A different color scheme.
Yeah, they are a different color
scheme. We did get similar ones. But guys, today I want to talk about, for just a hot second, Lord Timepieces. Now,
please,
Lord Timepieces, they're a renowned watch brand, all right? They've sold over 100,000 watches worldwide. They're great. And these are like this is like a new watch brand that's been taking social media by storm. Lord Timepieces, remember that name, all right? Because they make it easy and very affordable for you to get a great watch at a reasonable price. And also, kids, keep in mind, boys and girls, depending on who you want to buy this for, V-Day is coming up.
It's
not the military one. Valentine's Day is on the horizon. And if watches are always a good gift.
Yeah, it's that nice, like, it's put a little thought into this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Lord Timepieces is super affordable. And also, when we were looking at watches, I almost bought like three. But I know I need to control myself.
Exactly, self-control.
So I picked a sleek one. I picked a very, it's very sleek. It's black with some blue hands on it. And I'm like, fan of blue.
He's a blue boy.
It's
normally, if you go to like a department store, watches like this could cost you like $400 or $500.
Yeah, it's intimidating.
Not here.
Not Lord Timepieces. They're super, super easy to use. And these watches, just to get a heads up, start at only $70 with free worldwide shipping.
Which is super nuts.
It's online.
No.
Super easy. Click a button, delivered right to your door. How easy is that?
It's so easy. And even better, if you use the code, I believe the code is only.
Look at that. It's only.
It's only. Uh-huh. You can get 10% off today with free shipping.
Only.
So you just have to go to lordtimepieces.com, use the code only, and you'll get 10% off.
With free shipping. Would you look at that? Let's say that promo code one more time. Done. 1, 2, 3.
Only.
lordtimepieces.com. It's plural, guys. Classic design, quality construction, and style minimalism. I like the minimalism.
Yeah, same
here. I almost said like cinnamon.
Yeah, I used to like, when I was a young boy, into 90s comics, I used to like a lot of design work in my watch.
They also have those ones.
When I was a grown boy, I'm like, hey, simple as night. When I saw that new Superman costume, I'm like, this is right.
Clean.
Yeah, clean,
sleek,
and nice. I like it.
Just like Lord Timepieces. Superman would wear Lord Timepieces.
I believe he does. Let's take a look.
Let's take a look, guys. Wow, look at that right
there.
Look
at that right
now. How's it? It stays on, too, when he's going like 7,000 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Thanks, Lord Timepieces, and thank you, Superman. So, guys, make sure you check out that link.
Please.
That way we can all buy matching watches. That's one of my biggest dreams, is to have a bunch of people wearing the same watches.
There you go.
All right. So let's move into the main meat of this episode. DJ, what's the theme?
Well, so like we said earlier, we had a series of unfortunate events.
Yes.
And we had Sherlock.
Oh.
And both those, of course, are adapted from books. And
yes.
So we asked our audience.
I don't know why I got stumbled up on
just,
that.
Is it, though? Let's go look online.
Take a look.
So I was kind of curious about whether the end.
Oh, that was
good.
Guys, let us know in the comments down below. What's the end of that question?
No, what was the audience's favorite book to screen, whether movie or TV show? Because obviously these are TV shows we're talking about. But first, real quick, Sam.
First.
What did you think of a series? I meant to watch it before we recorded, but it's been a
Yeah, you've been busy.
It's been a lot. Yeah. But what do you think?
Love it.
Love it.
It is.
Really good.
I don't want to amp it up. That's the thing, is that this is very stylized. So I think
stylized
that has a chance.
Good.
It is, but sometimes that can turn people off from
that's
things.
Also
like
true.
Wes Anderson, like some people watching like, oh, this is just goofy. And it's like, well, no, it's not. No, it's his style.
Well, no, you need to calm down.
Yeah, so this is Barry Sonnen. Okay, let me go ahead and look up his name really quick. No. He did Men in Black. Yeah, this is the guy. So it's very much has like those center type shots or like things happening in the background while like the scene's actually happening up
that
front.
That first Men in Black movie
is
really, a great one.
Yes, Sonnenfeld.
I do not necessarily recommend the other two, but that first Men in Black is.
Three was okay.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, it's okay. They had some time travel. He produced Wild Wild West. Never mind. But let me look up his filmography really quick. Ooh.
But you have.
He recently did Nine Lives. That Kevin Spacey movie.
Oh, my goodness. that's what we call here in Hollywood working.
He's working.
He's getting work, which matters.
And he did Pushing Daisies, if anyone was a fan of that show. So it has the feel of Pushing Daisies.
That's cool. And you got Neil Patrick Harris.
Stanson.
Uh-huh. Neil Patrick Stanson. Better than Jim Carrey? Let's throw Jim Carrey under the bus.
There we go. But Jim Carrey, I think, has more of the look and of him. But I think Count Olaf really captures the character more. This is my opinion. I mean, a lot of people apparently really like the movie. When I saw it, I was very disappointed.
Okay.
And I did not find that movie very good, mainly because they took the first three books and jammed it into a movie. And now I understand that, like, you can't make 13 movies. Like, that's kill the franchise.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious, go right ahead, do it. They're not based off a book. What if it was?
That'd be amazing.
I'd read those books. Yeah. Oh, man, it'd be awful. But I get it. You want to, like, condense them a little bit. But in a show format, you get to take more time and really get to learn about each character. Like, because each book has very compelling, interesting characters. And I love the way Lemony Snicket writes. It's so interesting. And Lemony Snicket is a character in this. Like,
He's voiced by Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, but, like,
great voice.
He's walking around and showing you things that are happening because the way, from his point of view, is he's been investigating the unfortunate events of the lives of the Baudelaires and the three siblings. And so you get to see, like, there's this one shot where he's walking around this, like, kind of like underground subway cavern thing.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a staircase or a ladder, and he goes up. And he pushes up, he opens the door, and he pushes up this, like, carpet, and he's in the living room of the Baudelaire mansion as it lights on fire, and it's lighting on fire around him, and it's like, this is really cool.
Crazy.
And so for the first season, it's the first four books they're focusing on. That is The Bad Beginning.
I was going to ask.
Bad Beginning, Reptile Room, The Wide Window, and The Miserable Mill. I could be Merciless Mill.
Okay.
Guys, I'm a bad fan right now that I can't remember. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm on part two. I just started part two of The Wide Window.
Is that how they divide it? So it's the story divided into parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I would suggest, I know Netflix will help you, like, have you skip past the intro on like their shows. I think it's worth watching the intro because it's different every time. And they recap the previous episode, which you know what's happening because you're probably binging this, but it's a song. So it's, and Neil Patrick Harris wrote it with James Newton Howard. And he did, James
Newton
Howard did all the music for it. And there are times when they have to do CGI because this world is not the city or wherever they're taking the place. Wherever this is taking place isn't real. So I think they do a good job of using practical and CG.
Cool.
And it just got, like, this really cool 90s vibe of movies. Like Men in Black, also kind of Stuart Little with the tiny house in the middle of the big city. if you remember Mouse Hunt, kind of like that too. Like just the way that was shot and the humor. And I don't remember the books ever being particularly funny. When I was a kid, I'd never read them for the humor. Yeah. But Ken Olof injects it while at the same time being very like scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to remember that like, oh man, there's just so many like good characters. And I just want to look up the filmography really quick because in the movie, Meryl Streep was in it. She was.
I saw the movie. I never read any of the books, but I remember seeing the movie. I do not remember anything about the movie.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's Count Olaf wanting their fortune. He wants the kid's fortune. So there's like a bunch of plans.
How many episodes?
In this season, there's 8. So 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's, 2 per book.
That's not bad at all.
No.
You've sold me. I definitely want to check this out.
And, man, the actor who plays Uncle Monty, because the point is that they go to different relatives, like, to live with, and where is he? What's the actor's name? Asif Mandvi? I'm sorry, I apologize.
Oh, Asif Mandvi from The Daily Show and everything.
Yes, he's Uncle Monty, and he is so charming.
That's great.
He's a herpetologist, a studier of snakes, and it's there, like, it's all like quirky, fun writing like that, but they build out the world to exist in something like that, and at the same time, the way the book will make fun of books, this makes fun of watching movies and streaming. Cool. So it's like, why would you go to a movie when you could just watch it in the comfort of your home? And like, as Neil Patrick Harris is like saying that line, he's turning to the camera to like talk to you.
That's
and then
cool.
He goes back. And it's like, the whole thing is not fourth wall breaking. It's more just like acknowledging that like, this is introspective and like meta and very fun.
I like it. But I'll definitely check it out.
Last thing, they added a few stories that I'm not going to talk about that are not in the books.
Oh, cool.
And you will know by the end of the first episode, you're like, wait, if you read the books, you'll be like, that's not supposed to happen. That's all different. And like that will be sprinkled throughout the other episodes. At least thus far, it's been sprinkled throughout the other episodes. And there's so many celebrity cameos. You're like, oh, I'm so happy. Joan Cusack.
That's cool. Yeah. So for somebody like me who has not read the books, do you think I'd still enjoy it?
I think so. I think I say give it a try. Give it a try. It's definitely a flavor, and it gets going. Oh, man. I thoroughly enjoy this. It's
very
like
cool.
It's just a new thing. It feels new, and I really appreciate it. So, I'm very excited about it.
That's awesome. Well, the other thing that we have this week is Sherlock is wrapping up, and you've started watching.
I solid 10 minutes into the first episode. Yes, so I started watching it.
Well, I think for you, like especially since you're a Doctor Who fan, like Stephen Moffat, I think is really good at writing characters that are smart and also characters that just sound smart.
Yeah,
because this really runs with. Sherlock Holmes has kind of a preternatural intelligence. And so sometimes the deductions he comes to as he explains how he got there, if you go back and you like pick it apart, you're like, that's not how things work. But in the moment, especially with Benedict Cumberbatch, he's really he's really good at selling it. Like you really, like I'm such a nerd. I'm sorry. Like, if you had somebody like him playing Lex Luthor in like Batman v Superman or something like that, I think you'd buy just because of his gravity. You'd be like, oh yeah, that guy is as smart as he says he is.
Man, he would be terrifying.
Yeah,
he'd be
good for him
scary.
That he's Doctor Strange. Yeah. But yeah. he would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Martin Freeman is just the best. They're great together. The way they depict their relationship is really good, and I also really like the way the series is just 3 episodes each season. And they're movie length. And so you get 3 Sherlock Holmes movies a season. And it's just a really, I think season 1 and 2 are probably the best. I don't know, the last episode we got. So the last episode I saw was called The Lying Detective. It was the second episode of the 4th season. And it was great. First episode of the season was fine. There's usually each season with 3 episodes, you have one that's fine and then one that's like, oh, that's really great. You know? And so the second episode was really good. The antagonist they set up for the final episode, I can't, especially if they're ending the show on this episode, I can't think of a better antagonist for Sherlock Holmes, especially since they dealt with Moriarty in season 2.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Did they get to the Hound?
They did. That is the worst episode of the show.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's
funny.
That's
like the most iconic.
It is the most iconic, and they try to do some stuff with it that you're like, oh, this could be fun, and by the end you're like, you didn't quite land this one, guys.
Yeah.
It's not awful. None of it's ever awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the weakest of all the episodes.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I was very excited because I saw it on like the list, and I was like, oh,
But the cool thing is that they mix and match. They remix so many classic storylines. Like the first one this season is The Six Thatchers, which is based off of Sherlock Holmes, I believe, short story called The Six Napoleons, mm-hmm. which dealt with Napoleon busts, and this deals with Margaret Thatcher busts.
Oh, cool.
But they take so much, like, not just specific stories, but things that authors have added later on after Arthur Conan Doyle, mm-hmm. and they mix and match, and of course they modernize it. And I think one of the things that really makes the show special is, one, it's super energetic. It didn't do the thing that the Robert Downey Jr. movie did, where it's like, now he can fight and stuff. Mm. It creates energy out of the thought, out of the thought process. Mm-hmm. It tries to visualize the way his brain works, mm-hmm. and tries to make energy out of thinking. And that's something that I've really appreciated with Stephen Moffat's stuff, is the value he puts on thinking about things and intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He almost fetishizes it in those shows.
Uh-huh.
And I've grown to really appreciate that, because when you're a kid, you want the good guy to be able to, like, outfight people. But it's a neat skill to just be ahead of people and be able to focus on details. And of course, this version of Sherlock also focuses on how that thought process kind of disconnects him from humanity. And mm-hmm. how he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of a big jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And growing and evolving from that. And so the cast is really great. The writing's really good. It's a really cool take on the character. So I would give it, especially since the episodes are like movie length, give it an episode. Mm-hmm. See if you can get through one of them. And
I can get through it.
I'm trying to remember. I can make it. The first episode of the first season is really good. I'm trying to remember the other episodes that season. Season two has some of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then season three has an episode that's just really, really great. But yeah, it doesn't always fire on all cylinders, mm-hmm. but for the most part, acting, writing, directing, the whole thing just clicks really well. Toby Jones is in this season, mm-hmm. as
I love Toby
as an antagonist, and mm-hmm. they do some really cool things with him.
What if I just watched Elementary on CBS?
No, don't do that.
What if
Although
I just
it's
watched
funny,
that?
The what's that actor's name that plays him? Something Lee something.
Mm-hmm.
The actor that plays Sherlock Holmes in Elementary and Benedict Cumberbatch did a stage play of Frankenstein, mm-hmm. where they switched roles of Frankenstein, or I think it was Frankenstein. It might have been Frankenstein, where they switched the roles of the creator and the monster.
Weird. How?
Yeah, they would do one show where one was the creator and the monster,
okay.
and then they'd do another show where they flipped roles.
Uh huh. So they cool. That's they'd, really hard. You have to learn two whole different characters.
Yeah, they definitely did a play together. I feel like I'm mixing my metaphors a little bit on that one.
I do that a lot.
You know what? The fans will tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of them.
Yes.
We asked you guys, and you guys tweeted us some of your favorite book to film or yes. TV adaptations.
We got some good ones. Some that I don't normally think about, because I immediately went to Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings was pretty unanimous across the board, but we have one from Josh Flores at Josh That One Guy. Easily, Lord of the Rings, Jurassic Park, and Jaws are also great adaptations that successfully stray away from the book.
Yeah, I don't normally think of I always forget, you like Jurassic Park, of course. Jaws, I never think of.
Man, Jurassic Park is no offense to Michael Crichton fans, but Michael Crichton is pretty dry. He will build out a lot of the science mm-hmm. of it, and you're like, okay, now I'm just reading a lab report. Like, yeah. It's just like, it's not as fun anymore. I read Prey, which was a bunch of nanites that got out mm-hmm. and would just like devour and multiply, and like it was a nightmare. Gross. But I couldn't finish it because and I also read one where it was like the apocalypse machine or the Armageddon machine, something like that, where like they made this machine that can make earthquakes, and like they put it on an island that's like going to blow with a volcano, and you're like, I'm like 500 pages into this and literally nothing has happened yet. Like, I mean, someone stole something within the first chapter, and after that it's like a guy talking about how his life has gone bad because he's buying multiple forms of Tupperware at Walmart. And I'm like, jeez. I was like, what kind of placemats do I need to get? I was like, I don't care. I don't care.
Speaking of Crichton, he wrote and directed the original Westworld movie.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Orvis at Orvis 92 depends. If by best you mean both in quality and similarity to the source material, I'd go with The Silence of the Lambs. Again, haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
The Silence of the Lambs is a great movie. You've never seen Silence of the Lambs? I only saw it recently because of the Hannibal series.
Mm-hmm.
When that show was coming out,
You didn't want to do your research.
I went, so I saw Silence of the Lambs, which is amazing. Red Dragon, which I thought was good. Manhunter, which was an older adaption of the book Red Dragon as well, directed by Michael Mann, that I actually, some people are not as keen on it. I actually really like it. I'm a big Michael Mann fan. So I like that adaption.
Did he do Black Hat?
He did.
Oh, wow. That's a bad movie.
But he also did Heat. Have you ever seen Heat?
No, Heat's good. Heat's good. But just Black Hat. I was like, oh.
Have you ever seen...
This is the boring type of hacking.
Yeah. Have you seen Thief? I think it was his first feature film.
It's familiar.
I believe it's James Caan in the lead. And he went to actual guys that perform heists.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of the
most... You can call them up. Those are people you get in the yellow books. Yeah,
exactly. He did... it's one of the most realistic depictions of a heist on film. And it's a really great movie. I like the level of detail. Mm-hmm. You see it especially in like Thief and Heat. The level of detail that goes into, like, he's like, no, I'm not going to do a flashy movie version of this. I want to know how this works.
That it happens in Black Hat, but then you're like, but then he starts to stray away because there's a part where, like, a nuclear reactor, like, malfunctions and, like, fails, whatever, mm-hmm. what it's, meltdown. Yeah. And they get it contained, but, like, they send the hacker in a radiation suit to get the computers that are fried, and it's like, why'd you send the hacker in there? Like, that makes no... Like, we're trying to ground this in reality, and it was like, there's also one part...
Because you don't hire Chris Hemsworth to just sit around all day.
Yeah, I wouldn't have hired him as the hacker. No offense, but, like... And there's this part where, like, this woman shows up, and she's like, and they're going to have sex, and 3, 2... Oh, you beat me to it. Like, yeah. And they're already doing it.
To be fair, Chris Hemsworth.
Don't know her name yet.
Yeah.
Don't know her name yet, but it's like, and there you go. And at the end of the movie, you're like, and they're going to fly away on a plane together, and 3, and then 2. They go. They're going to just beat me to all the tropes of these kinds of movies. Another tweet.
Yes.
Data Queen.
Yes.
At Tired and Mean.
That's fine.
That's me all the time.
Yeah.
Not sure if it's the best, but Fight Club had a great movie adaptation. Even Palahniuk.
There you go. Good job. Nailed it.
Thank you. I'm bad at talking. Preferred the movie ending. Oh, because Chuck Palahniuk wrote the...
Wrote the book.
I know that name because I read a little bit of Fight Club 2.
Comic. Yeah. And then he also did Choke, which was adapted into a movie.
If you guys hear this sound, if this is making a sound, that's me banging on my head.
My head, which you probably should really stop.
It helps me think.
No, don't do it. You're stressing me out. I'm worried about you.
Listen.
No, don't do it.
That's my forehead.
Don't stuff it.
My forehead. Stop it.
Have you seen Fight Club, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why I said it like that. I had to think about it and just blurted it out of my mouth.
That was, here's the problem with this. It's, I haven't read most of these books.
Oh, no.
I've just seen the movies. But Fight Club, I guess it's a good adaption if the movie's really great.
I've heard that's one of the better adaptations.
Few times I've heard of an adaption possibly being better than the book is The Prestige, which is a movie that I love.
Uh-huh.
And the book is, I've read about the book. I haven't taken the time to read the book, and it's interesting. But mm-hmm. I think I like what the movie does better.
I think I've wanted to rewatch the movie because I only saw it in theaters, and by the end of it, I was like, I thought I was getting something else. I thought I was going to get a different type of movie.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was watching it, and I'm like, this is still interesting, but it's not what I wanted. And like, I saw it when I was in high school, maybe like junior high. I don't remember when that movie came out, but it was like, I couldn't really get past that. So. Yeah. I was like, there is a cool movie in here, and by the time when it wraps up all the mysteries, I was like, I don't think this paid off for me. I don't think I got what I wanted.
It's interesting because I remember that was one of those Year of the Warring Movies where there's two movies that seem similar.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Norton's The Illusionist came out, and then The Prestige.
Oh yeah, Illusionist is pretty good.
I like The Prestige way more. Mm-hmm. Prestige might be one of my favorite movies.
I rewatched I watched Illusionist like a year, 2 years after
came out. I watch The Illusionist once a year.
Once a year, I have a holiday set up. Yeah. Josh Escon at Monsieur_Cipher, Return to Oz is great as both a sequel/depiction of the world of the books. Also has one of my favorite movie robots.
With this tweet, they had a picture of TikTok, the robot from that. And I remember watching Return to Oz, which is really weird. I think
Return to Oz like the kind of weirdly violent one? Like,
yeah, it was very weird. I remember watching it as a kid, but the one thing that always stuck out to me in Return to Oz and like the Wizard of Oz sequels in the books was how the companions get way cooler in the sequels. Like, you go, switch out the Tin Man for like a robot, and switch out the Cowardly Lion for a tiger.
Uh huh. And there's like a slight, I'm looking at it right now. There's like a jack-o'-lantern and it's like.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember his name, but like, yeah, that's, you switch out the scarecrow with a jack-o'-lantern guy. And it's like, this is so cool. But speaking of Return of Oz, the Wizard of Oz is not only one of the best book to movies, but one of the best movies ever and the best utilization. I don't know if there's ever been something quite as clever, I think is the word I want to use, is like the starting with the black and white. And then going to the full Technicolor, like I can imagine your mind just being
blown. Planning that. Yeah. That would be so cool.
Well, in an audience, especially before you had Twitter and the internet and everything was spoiled a million times before you ever got into the theater, you're just sitting there like, this movie. And then it goes Technicolor and you're like, your mind just melts, you know?
Oh, Jack Pumpkinhead. Sorry, I had to find. I was really set on finding that name. I had to know. I just remember those guys on the wheels, and I was very scared when I was a kid, and I saw that, like those guys who have like wheels on their hands, and they would like, roll around looking for. I was like, I mixed this
movie up in my brain with the Neverending Story sequel.
Which Neverending Story sequel had Jack Black in it? I have to find that out.
Jack Black was in one of them,
and there was Neverending Story. Neverending Story. Okay, so we had Neverending Story, 1984. Next Chapter, 1990. And then number three was... Number three. Oh, wow, man. They really downgraded a lot of their... I wish I could show you pictures of this. But yeah, Jack Black was in this. It was like he's very young. He was super young. 1994. I was 1 year old. And he was blonde. The indictus, he had bleached his hair.
Wow.
And
Is he the kid?
No, he's a bully. Okay. There's the boy and Bastion.
Yes.
A young boy must restore order when a group of bullies steal the magical book that acts as a portal between Earth and the imaginary worlds of Fantasia. Because I remember there's one scene where like Jack Black's reading it and like the school is being overrun by like a lot of the creatures. Like they're running out of like the portal into the school. And I remember I watched the second one. And I was like, what is happening in this one? This is the one where he's, like, losing his memories, like, the more he goes along,
The second one, right? Maybe. Isn't the second one that ends with, it might be the first one, where it's supposed to be, he's supposed to find courage, and it's this big, like, Niagara Falls waterfall, and for some reason, the water was a little brown for some reason. I'm like, is that courage?
Is that what courage looks like? I don't remember. Neverending Story, I'm going to be honest, was not for me. I know,
really?
It's very popular.
I revisited it. Super recently. You know what? Gamork freaked me out. The wolf thing that works with the nothing.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Rewatching it's like still scary.
Is that the one where like the horse drowns and like
tar.
You're like, why?
But it does have, I believe that's, you get Rockbiter, who's amazing, who's an amazing creation. You get Falcor, who's really cool.
Falcor's really cool.
And then I think there's that giant turtle that he,
That sounds familiar. It's been a while.
There's a lot of mythology that he uses, and I believe it's in the second one, the first one. The second one introduces like a guy that rides on a bat and another guy that rides on the snail that might be in the first one.
Snail sounds familiar too.
Yeah. But the snail's super fast for some reason. Mm-hmm. And you got a person that switched faces. I like that kind of.
It's like Wonderland.
I like that kind of imagery in kids' stories where it's like, it's fun, it's creative, and everything is slightly creepy and gross. Yeah. Like it's, because I feel like that perfectly captures a kid discovering the world for the first time. Everything's fun and exciting and slightly terrifying.
Mm-hmm. I might give him another shot. Let's start with the third and work our way down to one.
You're right back. Actually, that's probably the best way to watch those.
Oh, wait. Okay, I love this. Kate Appleby at Kate Apples. In all seriousness, I think Holes was a fantastic adaptation. Holes is a great movie. Holes holds up.
I remember
Holes holds up.
I did read Holes, and I did watch the movie, and I do not remember either.
That's fine. Yeah. That's totally. It was Stanley Yelnats, because it's Stanley backwards and forwards.
That's funny. Yeah. I remember it's Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, and that was his first movie role. Coming out of Even Stevens, which I remembered enjoying a lot as a young man.
I never
Stevens.
Watched that. I
enjoyed it a lot. It was very funny. He was very funny in it.
That was,
I had high hopes for that boy.
He's going to come back. I mean, he's always doing movies and stuff.
You know what? I saw an interview with him. I heard an interview with him on the radio. And it was like, he's really charismatic and charming and very into what he was doing. And it's like, good for you, man. Like, I'm glad it sounds like he still seems very intense. But it sounds like he's figuring his stuff out.
I think most child actors are probably really intense to be around.
Why
being thrust into that kind of business at like what, 7? Like what would that do to a person?
Last tweet, Danny at I Daniel Sutton I
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Great movie that managed to fit 6 books into 1 hour and 50 minutes without feeling messy.
I don't mean to be rude. It definitely does start to feel messy near the end when they have to shove in the rest of like the boyfriends.
I think they could have cut out one or two of the exes.
But it's 7 evil exes. Like that's
I get that. Uh-huh. Maybe make it 6 evil exes for the movie.
It's 7. 7. It has to be. And, like, that's why I'm, like, I understand. But, like, and I think they did a really good job. Like, but I think in the beginning, to set it up, they give a lot of the other exes a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, there's definitely a lot more interesting ones. That, like, the Katanagi twins, Katanagi? I think that's what their name is. They're twins, and she dated both of them at the same time. And they have this really awesome battle where they're playing versus them at the same time. And, like, they make, like, monsters out of music, and they fight each other. Not in the comic. That's not what happens whatsoever. Like, he fights them. But in the comic, they make robots that Scott has to fight all the time. And there's this really cool scene where I liked in the movie when they added... who plays Captain America? Like, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. That was the first time where I was like, this Chris Evans guy, man. I think he's got chops.
Right? Because it was like, he was funny. Yeah. And like, he still played the... He was like a weird version, a warped version of what he usually plays.
Yes.
But... all of that doesn't happen in the books either. I like the idea of like fighting the stunt doubles and like they make it more of a video game.
I like Michael Cera's little sides. Like, they shoot movies in Vancouver.
Yeah,
they shoot movies in Canada.
Oh, in Toronto. Yeah,
in Toronto. Yeah.
And but in the book, they have this really cool scene where it's like they're shooting at the castle, that castle. And like, I like in the comic in real life, like these are all locations that exist. The comic exists in places that are real. And instead of fighting, they sit down and talk about it for a long time. He's like, I don't want to fight. Like, I just wanted to be a part of a group of people. Like, she kind of ruined my life. Like,
because
she's not a good person. Like, no one in the story, the more you read it, it's like, no, these aren't good people. Like, they're jerks. Like, at the end of the day, each one of them is a jerk except for Knives. Knives isn't a jerk. And there's a lot of cool scenes where Knives, because she's younger, she like tries to confront Ramona a lot, and she's like, "You're fat." Like, that's all she can say. It's like, "Oh, because you're so ugly and fat." And like, it's awful smack talking. Ramona's like, "What are you talking about? What are you saying?" And like, finally at the end, they're like, you find out there's like, "Yeah, he cheated on both of you." Like, he cheated on both of you, and it's like, no, he's not a good person. He's a loser.
Yeah.
And but by the end of it, like, they grow out of it.
They grow and they learn.
They grow out of it. Awesome. And also, I read all of it because I finished Scott Pilgrim on the plane. Another series I finished.
so much.
I know, right? My brain hurts. but I remember reading at the end, there's this weird line that Ramona says where it's like, they thought that she was floating in this like empty space, this like dream highway she uses to get around places.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in the movie, it's mentioned a little bit. And like, you think that that's where she's been. But then she was like, no, I was with my dad. And I was like, wait, so does all the fantasy stuff, is that real? Like, you're like left
what,
like,
what just happened?
Like, maybe I missed it. Like, guys, if you really like Scott Pilgrim, let me know if I completely missed it. I was a little tired on the plane, so
I can imagine. There's parts of that movie that I really, really enjoy. I think it's a good movie.
A majority of it I like.
Yeah, however, I think it might be my least favorite Edgar Wright movie.
Well, I think World's End is...
Ooh, I like World's End a lot.
I do not. Yeah.
For me, the Scott Pilgrim is a little too into it. It thinks it's really clever.
Uh-huh.
It's like when somebody says something really clever and you're like, oh, that was clever. And then they wink at you like, wasn't that clever? And you're like, okay, you need to calm down.
It definitely is nonstop when you're watching it. Like most Edgar Wright movies, but it's like, okay,
he's got a new movie this year.
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited for it. But in the comic, like, all those inside jokes are spread out over 5-6 books.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I can handle this. But in the movie, you're like, bread makes you fat. Like, that's a funny joke they go with. And there's like powering through it in that movie. It's like, okay, we're getting all the inside jokes. Don't blink or you're going to miss something really important. I don't know. But overall, I think, shockingly, I didn't want to say, I did look up a little few things on the Serious Unfortunate Events movie.
Yes.
It actually, worldwide, domestically, it didn't do... It did pretty well, didn't do so hot, but worldwide it did really well. And it's Nickelodeon Studios' first ever Oscar. It won it for makeup for Count Olaf. And they wanted to do a sequel, but there was a big shakeup at Paramount because Nickelodeon, if you don't know, Paramount owns like Nickelodeon, it's all Viacom.
Yeah.
there's a big shakeup and like everything got delayed, but Jim Carrey, the director and the writer were like, yeah, we want to make a second film. But like, just, they were like, they kept pushing it off because it didn't do so well. Still won him an Oscar, but it still didn't make that much money. But eventually when they were like, they were given a somewhat green light, the kids had aged up. Like they weren't the right age anymore. So it was like, you'd have to, buy new kids. I was like, you gotta buy new kids. Yeah.
Buy new kids.
Yeah. Which was a bummer. So I was like, but I'm not the biggest fan, and I enjoy that we have this series now. Yeah. So I highly recommend it. It's you just kind of get like sucked into this world. I'm like, I want to know how these quirky people are.
Do you have a favorite book to screen adaptation that you can think of?
Oh, but I think you got me.
I'll give you one while you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is my favorite, mm-hmm. but I was actually a really big fan of Where the Wild Things Are.
I didn't see it.
I really recommend it. I don't know if it's good for young people, like really young people, like little kids, mm-hmm. but I really, because adaptions are weird to me, because in some ways, like, why should they exist? Because you have the original material. And I think the best way is either if you're really, the best way to do it is if you take, it's like translating something to another language.
Mm-hmm.
The language of books is different than the language of movies. So if you take the stuff, like what he did with Where the Wild Things Are was took what the story meant to him. He mm-hmm. wasn't really adapting Where the Wild Things Are, the book, as so much as Where the Wild Things Were meant to him as a young man,
mm-hmm.
as a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that made it more personal and interesting. And so I think you need to find, I think for any movie to really be special, it needs to be personal for the people making it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find that you can't just like, it's not like a paint by the numbers, like, well, it looks the same. Like that's not, again, that's not part of the translation process. You mm-hmm. know, that's kind of one of my big beefs with Watchmen, is it's slavishly similar in some ways, but like the themes and the subtext of a lot of what's going on is missing.
Yeah, because that's what makes it, like we've talked about it before, like you mentioned specifically like the Rorschach thing. That's the best example where it's like, no, the director just kind of wanted, like, or maybe the studio just wanted it to feel like another superhero movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like near the end, you're kind of left with the big question of that, like Watchmen presents. But all the separate, like, smaller things that, like, and they're not small. They're, like, they're just individual stories. But, like, they're what build the comic up that make people, at least for me. And, like, so when you take all that out, it's just kind of ruins it.
It kind of ruins it.
I think, because I'm blanking, and I know you guys are going to give me crap for it, and you can go list off even more adaptations on Twitter at OnlyStupidAnswers, at Sam Basher, at DJ Talks Trash.
Yes, please.
Little plugs. But do you remember the book Tuck Everlasting?
Yeah.
There was a movie, and shockingly, they nailed it. Like, it was a very good, it was book to, it was like they took the book on set and just read the lines and everything. Okay. And then, like, but I thought,
that works too. I mean,
it does. And I think, actually, right now, like, that was very good, but because I'm blanking, I think A Series of Unfortunate Events, Netflix series, is maybe my favorite. I think it's very well done, and it is both true to the books, but it's kind of building out this other mystery of something that's happening behind the scenes with because you're only following the orphans. You're only ever following the orphans. Like, you might get some side stories of Lemony Snicket talking about Beatrice, and you'll figure out who Beatrice is the more you watch the book, the movies, or read the books. But in this, it's like, it'll pull away, and it'll be like, Count Olaf's doing this right now. And it's like, that's, or these other characters are doing this right now. It's like, this is why things play out the way they do. It actually explains it more while adding more humor and also building out, like, the world of, man, these adults are dumb. Like, these adults are stupid. And, like, you kind of have to accept that, because also this was a kid's book. And so you just kind of accept that, and that the kids are the smart ones in this scenario, and you enjoy it from there.
Yeah, that's cool too. I like the idea of adding stuff to it. There's a graphic novel series that I've always wanted to adapt, and my
I believe that was Siri
thanks for joining in, Siri. We appreciate you dropping by.
I'm so sorry.
But the big difference I want to do, there's my favorite character in it does not show up till literally the halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
And but through a flashback you find out that he kind of got involved before the series even began.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what were you doing for 50 issues?
Yeah.
And so that's a whole other thing. Like, I'd probably be slavishly devoted to the stuff from the comic and to the, like, But the addition would be you fill in that backstory. That's just that, that something could have been in there. I think there's a bunch of smart ways you can adapt something, and you just have to really be engaged with the material. Mm-hmm. Really.
Pretty cool. Well, guys, make sure you hit us up on social media.
Yes.
And let us know, what are some of your favorite book to screen adaptations?
Yeah, but if you want to, I was going to try and find a smooth transition for this, and mm-hmm. I could not. But also, we have another sponsor this episode, which is helping us keep it free for you guys. Obviously, you're able to go to these platforms and get it for free, and this is allowing us the opportunity to do that. So I would like to give a big shout out, thank you to Penn State World Campus.
Woo!
We've had them on episodes before.
Woo!
If you're looking to, listen, if you weren't able to finish your college education mm-hmm. the first time, if work got in the way, if you're looking to get your education, if you're like 2017 is the year that I'm going to get my stuff together, I highly recommend checking out Penn State World Campus.
You just described me a lot. So for this year. And I've been very interested with the sponsorship. It was really cool when they reached out to us. So I'm happy they're able to help us out here on Only Stupid Answers.
Well, they're ranked number one for online bachelor's degrees by U.S. News and World Report. They're ranked top 10 in online graduate programs in business, education, engineering, and technology.
My personal favorite is that they have admission counselors and coaches available to help you decide if Penn State World Campus is the best fit for you. Because I remember when I was originally going to school, like, that was the most stressful thing for me. It was like, you guys are probably similar to me, is that your brain kind of goes in a bunch of different directions at the same time. And you're like, you kind of have to start making some decisions. And what I found the most helpful was that I was able to sit down with somebody whose job is to do this. Like, they're able to be like, what do you find are your best skills, or like, what are you most interested in? And they can point you in the right direction. And I'm a big fan of that.
And so if you want to know more, check out worldcampus.psu.edu. If what we're saying is perking your ears up mm-hmm. and it sounds like a good deal and you're looking to advance your career and advance your education, worldcampus.psu.edu. Give it a look and see for yourself.
Let's say that all together one more time. worldcampus.psu.edu. Penn State World Campus. It's a world of possibilities online.
Boom. There it is.
I really want to do voiceover work, and I hope.
I think, you know what? I think you'd be really good at it.
Thank you. It's the same voice, and they're like, and there he is.
And there's the Sam guy.
And guys, I want to do a quick shout out to you, because you've been so supportive. We've had sponsors on the show. We've been able to try out more sponsors, which is so cool, because like we've said, this is free content, and man, are we proud to be able to do that for you guys. Yep. But by doing that, we sometimes need to have sponsors on these shows so that we can keep it free. And overall, across all of our social media, you guys have been supportive.
So
and
supportive.
I was almost like, I think one person said they were proud of us, and I was like, I can't handle that. That's too positive. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart, and DJ, I'm going to put in words in your mouth.
Please do.
That we're thankful and we're grateful of you guys. So thank you so much. But one more time, a little shout out where you can find us on social media. Twitter, Only Stupid Answers. Yank those vowels out of...
Only Stupid Answers.
Stupid. Thank you.
Sorry.
No vowels and Only Stupid Answers. It's NL. Yank those vowels out of Stupid, but also Only Stupid Answers, Instagram, Facebook. Where can they listen to us?
On Spotify and Stitcher and iTunes and Audio Boom.
And more to come. DJ, little plugs.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And also, I just announced this week that I am launching a crowdfunding campaign for my very first comic book. I have not released the date for the campaign yet. However, it is coming soon. And it'll be really cool. I'm going to need your guys' help making a comic, because it's so expensive.
But you guys know that making comics are expensive.
Yeah, pay the artists. I've got like five different artists working for me right now on different aspects of the project. And then the reward is just a lot. So I'm going to need your help. Point is, I'm going to need your help. But in return, you will get your hands on the comic. You'll be the first to get what might... I've not read every comic of 2017, but I'm going to put it out there that this might be the craziest comic of 2017 is all I'm saying.
Oh, so you posted a little tease of it.
Yeah,
right?
On my Instagram and all next week, I'm going to be posting more art, introducing people to the characters of the comic. And this is all leading up to when I'm going to announce the launch of the campaign. So stay tuned here. Stay and check out my Instagram and and my YouTube videos, mm-hmm. and you get more of that information. And I had a blast making this. I hope you guys have a blast reading it and being a part of it.
Guys, DJ's been really excited about this for a long time. Dream come true. Go support him. You guys are so supportive already.
Yeah.
Just go one more little inch. Go check this out.
You guys really are the best. Sam, plug yourself.
Here I am.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, only stupid answers again. At Sam Basher, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Yes.
Super duper easy. I know I've been teasing a specific thing for a long time, but guess what? I went on vacation, kind of forgot about it. Picked it back up now. I got t-shirts coming out, and
they're so cool.
I'm pretty excited, and I found a good deal on them. So we're going to go ahead and get those out at a reasonable price, which is really cool for me. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Wait, turn up your volume. I'm going to whisper.
Get real close
guys,
right now.
Don't worry, it won't scare you. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.